we'll talk a little bit about kosher. So kosher is popularly misunderstood. You might know a little more about kosher because she worked in a kosher butcher shop. But people think, what is kosher? The rabbi blessing the food. So if I go around and blessing the food, that makes it, everyone has to make a blessing, like before I eat the food, because everything belongs to God, so I make a blessing before I eat the food. And me, meaning not just I'm a rabbi, or any observant Jewish person is supposed to do it. And you make a blessing afterwards. But that has nothing to do with kosher. It is true, I can't eat non-kosher, so I won't be making a blessing. But kosher food has nothing to do with my, of course, my line back as great. And if I bless the pig, that makes the pig kosher. It doesn't work that way. So that's what kosher is, not the rabbi blessing the food. What is kosher? Kosher is, so number one, it starts off, the Bible gives us a list of kosher animals. So let's say, it gives a sign. So animals that chew its cud and has split hooves, like a cow, sheep, goat, those are kosher animals. Animals that have one sign or no signs, a pig or other animals, are not kosher. And therefore, so in other words, an animal which doesn't have those two kosher signs, it's a game over. There's nothing you can do to make it kosher. Now, there's a long process. The first step is a kosher animal, but then you have to slaughter it properly, that doesn't suffer. You got to soak out the blood. You got to salt it. It's a whole long process. So you don't have to worry here. The time it gets, the Hamilton Kosher does all the dirty hard work. But the time it gets here, it's already ready just to go. You put some spices on it and you put it in the oven. We don't have to kosher, like, from that sense. The meat, any meat that comes here is already taken care of beforehand, whether we get it from Hamilton Kosher or somewhere else. So that's the first, it has to have those two signs for it to even have a discussion of kosher. But then if the animal is shot, and not, then it's not kosher, you can't eat it. And it has to be slaughtered properly. There are very rigorous rules in terms of treating the animals. So it's a whole long process, but the bottom line is that's kosher. It depends on the animal, and then you have to go through a kosher procedure, so to speak. When it comes to birds, chicken, it just gives a list of 24 birds that are not kosher, so that makes it more difficult, because who's a bird expert to know that the same name of the bird today is the same as now? So we have different characteristics. Let's say birds of prey, birds that attack others, so we assume it's not kosher, because you are what you eat, so therefore we try to find animals that are nice animals in nature also. And fish is probably the easiest of all, if you know how to fish, that is. You can go over to the lake or wherever you do your fishing, and as long as the fish has fins and scales, so tuna, salmon, we have sole here, trout, and a couple of others, so basically any fish that has fins and scales. So therefore, if I see a fish with fins and scales, I don't have to worry. I could just clean it off, and then, you know, you don't have to go through a whole long process. You know it's kosher. But again, there's different signs for kosher. So that's it's nothing to do with the rabbi blessing. It has to do with the certain physical characteristics. And then you have to go through a process for meat and chicken. For fish, it's much easier. That's why, usually if you're stuck, so it's much easier to find kosher fish than it is to find kosher meat or chicken. And even though chicken, for our practical purposes, we treat chicken as meat, even though biblically speaking, there's a middle category. See, there's meat and dairy, but it's something called parve, P-A-R-V-E, which means it's not meat and it's not dairy. In other words, fruits and vegetables, anything like from the ground, natural, that hasn't been touched or altered, so it's kosher. Like all fruits and vegetables, you know, if you cook them and put other things in it, or you use non-kosher pots, then it becomes a problem. But I could go to any store and pick out an apple or an orange, all that stuff, and it's kosher. I could go to a tree, and you know, it's not an issue in terms of that. So parv is, so fish is not, that's why you'll find here, like certain times they'll serve fish as a meat meal, meaning, and certain they'll be served as a dairy meal. In other words, it's because it could be both. It's neither, so you could have, you could have, even though we don't eat fish together with meat, but we don't know, but let's say during a meat meal, they'll have fish will be the meal. So fish is, chicken really, biblically, is no different than fish, but the problem was that people confused chicken with meat, so therefore, just to play it safe, so we treat chicken as meat, and therefore, chicken, you know, functionally is no different than meat, but it's, from a biblical sense, you know, it's more like fish. But nevertheless, therefore, there's milk, meat, and parah. What's the concept behind kosher? So really, all the Bible says is because you're a holy people, you have to eat kosher. It doesn't really explain what's behind kosher. So different explanations are given. So one is that, in a general sense, let's say, that we know we have a traffic light. So we have green means to go, red stop, yellow get ready for a change in either direction. So really there's nothing special about green being go. I'm sure psychologically they pick green to go and there's some deeper reasons why red means stop and green means go. But if you went to another country and red was go, as long as you promote the traffic, it really doesn't make a difference what color you call it. So on a certain level, the Torah wanted to teach us self-control. Like, so besides, we'll get into the specific, there is a specific reason why these animals, but even without getting into that, there's a general concept of self. You can't just go ahead and eat anything you want. You have to, we're not like animals. You have to make a blessing first. It's instilling in our self-control. Because there was a study in Stanford, that's a big university in California, nothing to do with kosher, but that meaning the study wasn't. They took a study, it happened to be, I think, younger children or older children, but we're all adults at this, older children anyway. So the test was like this. I think they did it with marshmallows, but if you like brownies, chocolate chip cookies, pick your own dessert. And this is the test, they said. Here, we're giving you one marshmallow, but it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever the time was. And they said, if you don't eat the marshmallow in the next 5 minutes, we'll give you a bag of marshmallows. So meanwhile, they were in a room alone. They didn't realize there was a double mirror, so people could see them. They couldn't see. You know, so you see, so some people just right away just go ahead and they can't control. They marshmallow, I'm eating it. Others are waiting a minute or two, then they start picking off the bottom of the marshmallow. Some lick the marshmallow. Everyone, so the point being is, so they followed these children around for the next 25 years or whatever, I'm making up the number, whatever it was. And they came to be an obvious conclusion, but they came to a conclusion that the children that showed self-control were the ones more successful in life. Those who couldn't put away, because in life, always going to have impulses of desire to do something. That's what an adult means. You control your, or you, you know, everyone makes mistakes, but that's the goal. The goal is to try to, we don't give into our immediate pleasure every time, and we have to look, you know, you can't, if you spend all your money, you're not going to have any money in retirement, whatever it is. Is you have to put away, you have to have balance. So therefore, in a certain sense, that's what kosher is. Kosher is a form of teaching self-control. In fact, I remember, I'm from New York, but New York's a big Jewish area, and I was in, it wasn't a kosher, it was kind of like Fortino's, but 90% of the store was kosher. That's just, in the States, you have a lot more generic kosher, like this thing's. So I was waiting online. And let's say this person in front of me, let's say they didn't look Jewish, but their kids started, you know, what they do is, for business reasons, they put the gum and the candy right at the line because they know parents are going to come with kids. First of all, number one, adults will come. Okay, they're waiting. Let me get a chocolate bar. Let me get some gum. Let me take this paper. But also they know you're coming with kids, so they'll figure the kids will grab. They don't tell you that. But they, and then they'll say, okay, just take it already, and then they sell more goods. So, so this woman started screaming at this the kid, not screaming, but she said, Tyrone, it's not kosher. So I was just, you know, I didn't think she was Jewish or that, so I just, I was with this, she was right in front of me, so I just, oh, by the way, oh, are you kosher? She said, no, but I see all the Jewish mothers doing it at work, so I figured I'd try it. In other words, you know, so kids are already grown up knowing that, see, if you tell them it's not kosher, it's like saying it's poison, you know, I'm not eating it. So the point being is there's an element of self-control. But on a deeper level, obviously, there's more to it than that. You are what you eat. There's certain animals, you know, that have a certain spirit, you know, more spiritual quality. And then, as well, they explain that the, let's say, there's another prohibition, even if it's kosher, you can't cook milk and meat together. It says it in the Bible a couple of times. And so, that's why you'll find in the Sholem Village, you're going to have a dairy kitchen, a meat kitchen. So in the nursing home, breakfast and lunch are dairy or milk, and dinner is meat. In the apartments, you only have one meal, so I think Wednesday night's the dairy meal, but every other night's meat. So why do we separate milk and meat? So because milk represents life, you know, you milk the cow. Death is you slaughter the cow, so it represents death. So we don't want to mix life and death issues together. That's why the Jewish leaders, let's say who were the priests, not like a non-Jewish priest, but a priest, actually, Mike and Phil are what they call Kohanim. It depends on your father. Whatever your father was, you are. So they did the work in, if there was a temple where there isn't, they'd be doing the work in the temple. So therefore, you don't want the spiritual leaders being involved in the other issues. That's why for Mike and Phil, that's why they can't, one of their prohibitions are you can't walk into a cemetery. If you're a Kohen, it's called Kohen. But so you can't, why? Because that represents death. You're supposed to represent, so we want to keep a separation. But it's very dangerous when the same leaders are involved in life and death, kind of like separation of church and state, kind of. So they point out, so therefore, that's why some explain that, you know, the not mixing of milk and meat. So the bottom line is that the Bible doesn't give us exactly why. We know we have to keep, meaning if you're Jewish, you have to keep kosher, and because he said you're a holy nation, and the commentators give different reasons, self-control, you are what you eat, and not keeping life and death issues separate. And that and you'll see today on many of the products you eat, you probably don't realize you're eating kosher. As I said, all the fruits and vegetables, all that kind of thing are kosher. And even, let's say, I'm saying like Miss Vicky's chips or Lay's, half of the, you might not notice them unless you, like on the containers, you'll see one will be MK. Not Michael Kors, it means Montreal Kosher. That, or there's a COR, that's one out of Toronto. There'll be a 0U. So, you know, if you're not looking for it, you won't even notice it's on the container. But if you are, so a lot of the things generically already come, meaning the rabbis go to the different plants where they make it, and then they, you know, verify the ingredients and everything, and then it's kosher or not kosher. So you'll see. So I think in the kitchen there's a list of different symbols, you know, which are reliable symbols and that. So that's a little bit about kosher. That's why you have, and on Passover, this makes it a little, Passover is a Jewish holiday where we don't have like different things from the five grains, bread and cake. We have what they call matzah. It's like a flat cracker. So therefore, that just adds another host of things. We have to like kosher the kitchen and, you know, and we have Passover things. But, you know, I guess we have a long time for Passover. It's not until next spring. Probably sometime in April, I'm guessing. So in terms of that, the next Jewish holidays that are, will be, well, there'll be a minor, I wouldn't call it a holiday. There'll be a couple of fast days over the summer for, like they, it's called one, it's one actually coming up this Sunday. It's a minor one. But the big, and then 3 weeks later, it's one of the bigger ones. It's It's called Tisha B'Av, T-I-S-H-A-B-A-V, which basically, it's the saddest day in the Jewish calendar. It's a day where both temples were destroyed. The first temple and second temple were destroyed on the same day, according to Jewish tradition. And many other terrible Jewish tragedies happened on that day. So it's a universal. So starting this Sunday, for the next 3 weeks, different observant people take on different practices. As it moves out, we don't do certain things. It's more of a national time of mourning versus if you lose a mother or father, but that's a personal mourning. This is more of a national mourning. But the holidays don't begin. Then all the holidays. The Yom Kippur, which is a fast day, it's the Day of Atonement. Even though we're fasting, it's actually one of the happiest days because we're getting atoned. In other words, we're getting forgiven for our sins. Functionally, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur look alike. I'm not eating for 25 hours. I can't wear leather shoes, whatever, different. But, fundamentally, one is the saddest day. One is I'm sitting on the ground, I'm a mourner. On the other one, I'm in synagogue most of the day praying, we're wearing white. We're like angels and we're, asking God for. So even though functionally they look the same, from a theological point of view, they're polar opposites. The happiest day of the year and the saddest day. So that's a little bit about kosher. Any questions on any?